Welcome to NELAB Spotlight. Today I will be talking with my NYU Abu Dhabi postdoc, Jixing Li, about our new paper, Disentangling Semantic Composition and Semantic Association in the Left Temporal Lobe, just out in the Journal of Neuroscience. So our minds are very much combinatory machines, and we have many different ways to combine representations or to kind of put them together. So in the work that we're going to talk about in this episode, we're going to compare two of those ways. And one of them is the way in which we combine representations in language. So what we do is we take representations that are stored in our long-term memory, and we combine them in such a way that we create a more complex representation. So if I say, for example, I have a gray furry cat, I'm adding those features, gray and furry, to a mental representation of cat, and all those features of grayness and furriness of and catness accumulate into a larger combined representation. So similarly, if I can say my gray furry cat sat on the mat, so now I'm making my gray furry cat the actor of the sitting event, and then I'm giving that event a location, that's the mat. So all the elements combine into the same coherent representation, with each element enriching that representation. So that's semantic composition, and linguists have formal theories about exactly how it works. So now, in the work that this episode is about, we compare composition of this sort to another process, association. Okay, so association also links representations and in some sense combines them. So what's the difference? What's the difference between association and composition? So if I'm sitting at my kitchen counter, there might be a coffee on it, and there might be a piece of cake on it. And if the coffee and the cake often co-occur in my experience, then those two representations are associated in my mind. They're associated in my long-term memory. And of course, at some point, that connection was built, that, you know, those two representations connected with each other. And so that connection then also presumably is getting stronger over time if that co-occurrence keeps happening. So in that sense, association is also a type of a combinatory process. But it's clearly different from composition. So if we compose the representations coffee and cake together, we get the complex concept of a coffee cake. So that's clearly different from just having an association between coffee and cake. Or just to do with one more example. So it could be the case that, and probably is the case in your brain, that thinking about a sailboat also makes you think about the color blue, because water is blue and sky is blue. So blue is very much a strong context color for sailboats. So those two representations are associated in your mind. But that's very different from the relationship between blue and sailboat in the noun phrase blue sailboat, when blue is actually the color of the sailboat. Okay, so I hope that's a little bit helpful. I'm belaboring on this contrast because over the years in my various interactions with different people, it turns out that depending on your background, the contrast between association and composition is actually not as obvious for many people as it is for people who work in language, so in the language sciences. So especially for us linguists, it may actually come as a surprise that if we look at the brain literature on composition, say like the studies that have come out from our group, and then the literature on association, which is mostly a memory literature, the language people don't often look at that literature. And so in particular, the literature on associative encoding, where you're training people or monkeys or other animals, you can do these tasks with animals, you don't need a human, to form associations between two representations. It turns out that the associations activate very similar areas of the temporal cortex as composition. Okay, so that's intriguing. So it raises this interesting question about whether the two types of combinatory processes or kind of linking processes, they seem very different, but what if they actually did share some common origin? Maybe composition did, you know, somehow evolve from like a little tweak to more associative processing. So this is a question that I've been intrigued about for quite a long time. And so now in this paper my postdoc Jixing Li and I just published in the Journal of Neuroscience, it's sort of this is the first step towards addressing this question. So here we do something pretty basic, just to kind of get the project off the ground. We just cross the level of association with composition, so we can kind of provide an initial assessment of exactly how these two factors interact in the anterior temporal lobe, where the effects of both factors have been reported in the prior literature. And so in the stimuli, what we did is we took advantage of the fact that country names become adjectives with a relatively small phonological change in most cases. So Italy, Italian, Korean, Korea, Korean, Mexico, Mexican, and so forth. And then we also took advantage of the fact that many countries are strongly associated with a specific kind of food. So by mixing and matching country names and foods, we were able to create these pairings that were either highly or lowly associated, like Mexican tacos or Korean tacos. And then we could also present those pairs in a list-like fashion. So not as adjective noun phrases, but just a noun, like Mexico tacos, Korea tacos. So that was the core manipulations, crossing that phrasal context with the level of association. So what we learned here was that level of association and composition interact in the left anterior temporal lobe. And the way they interact is that within the composition stimuli, so that's Mexican tacos versus Korean tacos, high association elevates the amplitude. Okay, so it's a little bit like a reverse priming effect. So usually more related items dampen or lower activity, but here the highly associated items drove the activity more. But then within the list trial, so Mexico tacos, Korea tacos, the reverse happened. So high association actually lowered the amplitude. So there we saw more like a typical priming effect. And then in slightly more posterior temporal cortex, composition had a more straightforward main effect. So that has a more kind of a structural syntactic flavor. So here in this episode, we discuss those results. As usual, we'll first learn a bit about Jixing's background. She's currently a postdoc in our Abu Dhabi lab. And she has a really broad prior training in linguistics and psycholinguistics, even acquisition, neurolinguistics, and computation. So she's really able to think about these problems from many different angles. Here we go.
I was born and raised in China. I did my undergrad in English at Beijing Normal University. And then I went to the UK to study linguistics for my master's degree at University College London. And there I got really interested in psycholinguistics. So I want to learn more about experimental methods. So I went to Oxford and did my second master in experimental psychology. And then I went to the US and did my PhD in linguistics at Cornell. And now I'm here doing my postdoc here at Neo Lab Abu Dhabi.
Abu Dhabi. So you have a really strong linguistics background. So I'm just looking at your CV. So your master's thesis was titled Roots, Infinitives, and Child Chinese. I don't know if we ever talked about the fact that you did, was that developmental work? on Chinese?
Yes, yes.
Okay. I feel like I'm learning this now. Or maybe I just forgot. And then, so that's syntax, but then your...
I was interested in like language acquisition at that time.
And then the title of your master's thesis is Sonority, Size, and Shape in Sound Symbolism. That's something totally different. That's really interesting. So now your profile is quite computational. So where did that start coming from? It's not so obvious in just the sequence of degrees of where the computational orientation started.
Yeah, because I worked with John at Cornell, and then I learned from him about.
So during the PhD, so
in my PhD, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's impressive how far you've come on that. So, so I remember, so when we were hiring into this postdoc position, the reason that I was really interested in you as a candidate was because of this work that you had done with the Johns, John Hale and John Brennan, with the naturalistic stimulus in fMRI, looking at, the usual, effects of syntactic structure, and trying to represent all different aspects of combinatory processing, and you guys had a result that showed that the left anterior temporal lobe was sensitive to associative semantics, and so you were representing it. Was it LSA that was?
Yeah, I used LSA.
Yeah. That was my memory. Yeah. And so that was at a time point where I also was thinking a lot about whether the left anterior temporal lobe the combinatory role of the left anterior temporal lobe might have somehow emerged evolutionarily from a more kind of elementary role in just association. I was thinking of it as a more elementary role, since presumably, lots of animals can associate things, but very few of them can kind of build the types of complex representations, at least don't have a way to externalize the complex representations in the way that language allows us to. So I had been interested in that relationship for a while, partly because I had psychology colleagues, particularly Layla Davachi, shout out to Layla, was a memory person, and they had these paradigms that looked very much like our kind of basic composition paradigms, but they were studying associative memory. And the effects did not localize far from our effects. And so that relationship I was very curious about. And then, Layla was in some of my students' committees. And so it was just kind of like a question that I had. And so now in your study with the Johns, you wanted to represent some aspect of semiotics, and I'm kind of, my hunch was that you used LSA because we really did not have ways to represent semantic composition really in any way, other way. Like it's like that, the continuous variables that are on the shelf are associative, but the really kind of more linguistically oriented ones are harder.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah, and also because it's naturalistic, we didn't design it to specifically to look at association. Yeah.
Right. So I think we have a lot of results about the effect of association because it's something that's very relatively straightforward to computationally model. And so that was kind of the question. But then you dived into the kind of animal literature on association and also the human hemodynamic literature on association a little bit more as we were going into this particular project. So maybe if you can summarize briefly what we know about the, you know, association effects, say in the monkey.
Yeah, so in the literature on associative encoding, using single neuron recordings, and people have shown that the ATL of macaque monkey's brain suggests, have shown that a group of pair encoding neurons then respond to associated pairs of abstract shapes during the training. Yeah, so that's monkey literature. And the LATL is also engaged in human face name and face location associations in the fMRI literature. So
yeah, so that's suggestive. So it seems like, you know, so a monkey is given these two abstract shapes and they're, you know, taught to associate them with each other while it engages the left ATL. So, you know, it's a type of combination. It's not the type of combination that we do in language. So it's kind of like, I think the example that you used in the paper was a nice one, like coffee and cake. So coffee and cake are probably very highly associated in most people's memory representations. But a coffee cake is still something different when we actually compose the meanings together into kind of a coherent symbol concept, but a complex one. Okay, so here then the goal was, so this was MEG, and so the goal was to really try to vary composition and a level of association within the same design in order to take the first step towards trying to characterize what their respective effects would be in MEG signal, sort of. I'm very much building on our existing research on basic composition effects. So we know that if you do a basic combination like red boat, the left ATL will show an increased signal relatively quickly, around 200 milliseconds to that combination. And so what was the way that association and combination and composition was then varied in this study?
We used a country food pair where the country can either be a noun or an adjective. So for example, French cheese and France cheese. They're both highly associated, but French cheese is a phrase, it's compositional, and France cheese is not. Mm-hmm. And we also have low association country food pairs like Korean cheese and Korea cheese. So that's our 2x2 design.
Yeah, so this is a basic 2x2 design. And then you do lots of interesting analysis off of that design, in addition to just the basic assessment of the main effects and interactions. And then we had single word control. So you would also see cheese,
right,
by itself without the modifier. So I like this manipulation because it allows you to keep the kind of list-like stimuli and the combinatory stimuli, they're visually very well matched and conceptually very well matched. So like French cheese, France cheese are controlled for many factors, but it's very clear that in one case you get the complex, you know, syntactic conceptual representation of French cheese, and in the other case you just have France and you have cheese, and yes, they're associated, but it's just like intuitively feels like a very different representation. And, you know, I think, you know, certainly any linguist would agree, although I have to say that from the, you know, from the memory colleagues, they would sort of tend to question that contrast much more, like, you know, it's like, how is it composition, how is it really different from just association? Of course, you know, it has to be in some ways different. So people are reading these stimuli word by word, the usual type of presentation. And then it was a little hard to figure out what the task would be, like what, you know, what they should be doing. And so can you describe? So then there's a task stimulus. So no task on the critical stimuli. And then what comes after?
Then there's a picture matching task where the participant will see a food picture and then a country flag on the food, and they will respond to whether this picture matches the previous phrase. So both the country flag and the food have to match.
Yeah. So if you think about that task, it's in a sense doesn't force composition in any way. So the task is doable even if you did not combine French keys into, you know, the combined representation. You could just do the task by reading everything in a list-like fashion. But of course, you know, humans who have language, we cannot really block our language comprehension. So if I give you French cheese, your brain combines those representations together. It's that we've done a study that addresses the kind of blockability of the composition, and couldn't, I mean, at least as reflected by the left anterior temporal lobe responses, we, you know, happens automatically even in a list task. So in some sense, like, this design was informed by those previous results. We knew that we didn't have to force composition in order for composition to happen, totally intuitive, but we did have some data behind that. Okay, so then we should try to keep this kind of on a high level so that it remains comprehensible even as a podcast. So how did association then impact activity in the left anterior temporal lobe as compared to composition? So now we have this 2x2 design. Did we find effects of association? And was composition affected by that?
Yes. So in the LATL, so our univariate regression results show that high association composition elicit higher activity than low association composition. And our multivariate classification analysis also showed that this region is able to decode between high association and low association composition phrases. So it seems that LATL is responsive to both association and composition.
Mm-hmm. So when I was thinking about this, our results before starting this recording, so it's very clear in these results that the answer to the question does level of association modulate activity in the left ATL, the answer to that is absolutely yes, and it does interact with composition. So when you're combining representations like French cheese, you get an increased signal from the left ATL as compared to Korean cheese. So something about the existence of the prior association boosts that signal. And so now, of course, the crucial question is whether that effect is specific to the combinatorial environment or also occurs in the lists.
Yeah. There is the association effect in the list condition, but it's in the other direction.
In the other direction, exactly. So that's I think that's sort of the real discovery. So of course, needs to be replicated like that. We want to be able to see that interaction again. But just to rehearse this again for the listener, so. Within the phrases, French cheese drives the left ATL signal more than France cheese. So I was just, you know, sort of saying like, okay, maybe that's because there's a, you know, a representation of the existing association, and that is somehow helping, whatever the mechanism underlyingly is. But now what's really interesting is that in the lists, it goes in the opposite direction. So actually, Korea cheese gives you the higher amplitude as compared to France cheese. So now we could have told the story from the other direction, starting the discussion with the list items, France cheese, Korea cheese. And so now everyone who's taken like even an iota of psycholinguistics would know that France cheese should give you a strong priming effect. You know, France probably primes cheese and Korea does not prime cheese. And when we start looking at corresponding brain data, we know that the typical, most canonical neural reflection of priming is a dampening or a decrease of in activation. And that is what we see for the left ATL for the list items, right?
Right.
So France cheese gives you, in some sense, like a beautiful priming effect as compared to Korea cheese. And so now if you start with that and then you move on to the combinatory stimuli, well, you think, we should see the priming effect again, but the effect reverses. And so that's in some sense is the discovery. So composition really, whether these two concepts are just presented as a list, you get a priming effect. When you present it as a phrase, you get in some sense kind of an anti-priming effect. You get something that, the presence of the extent association boosts the signal. So I think that's the pattern that one would want to take forward and try to better understand. I don't feel like I'm not there yet. I wasn't thinking about it. So then you also have a different pattern, a little bit more posteriorly. So why don't we focus on that next? So what did you discover in kind of middle temporal cortex, not really posterior, at least our labeling of the effect is not posterior, it's more middle.
Right. Yeah, so in the more posterior region, the regression analysis showed a main effect for composition. So there is more negative going activity for composition compared to list. However, we are only able to decode low association composition from low association list in this region. Mm-hmm. So it seems like this middle temporal region is more responsive to specifically low association composition.
Yeah. So now it's like the opposite from what was happening in the ATL.
Right.
When you're putting together these elements that don't already go together in your extant memory, then the activity is increased. But you also, the statistics show a main effect of composition.
Right.
So in some sense, if this pattern now is compatible with a syntactic explanation, because whenever you're building your mini tree, the activity is increased, or the negative going activity is increased. So it has a more syntactic flavor, which in current theorizing and the empirical results that are coming out, including from our work, this is something we're trying to figure out, like what is the nature of this potentially more structurally driven activity or structurally sensitive activity in more posterior temporal cortex. So that's an evolving story right now. I would not say we understand it at all. Like even when we manipulate it from experiment to experiment, we see some sensitivity, but the directionalities and the timings, we don't really have an understanding of it yet. But it is, I would say this is sort of broadly converging with that view. Do you want to say anything about the relationship between the regression and the classification analysis? I mean, they're kind of broadly compatible.
Right. The idea is just to further confirm our findings using Searchlight multivariate classification analysis. So we're trying to see if we can classify between high association composition versus high association list, and high association composition versus low association composition, and low association composition versus low association list, and high association list versus low association list in this temporal region. And we can distinguish between high association composition and low association composition in ATL, and we can distinguish low association composition and low association list in the more posterior temporal region.
Mm-hmm. So in the
the regions are quite similar with the region we found from the univariate regression analysis. Mm-hmm.
So I guess sort of the main upshot is that the conditions that really diverged in the regression analysis, like looking at your bar graphs of the mean activations, those are also the conditions that the classification analysis was able to best discriminate. So in ATL, when we're within the composition trials, the French cheese and Korean cheese, you get a really nice accuracy peak in your classification analysis. And then in the more posterior region, it's the within the level of low association. So Korean cheese, Korea cheese, those distinguish from each other. So so whether you're building structure with items that are not yet associated, that seem to matter for that more posterior region. Okay, hopefully that was sort of clear. If it wasn't, then read the paper. okay, so how do you, I always, I always push all of you guys to be really clear about what was learned from a study. I don't want us to be like lost in the methods. We should always be able to like tell the field like, okay, this is what was learned. So now if you kind of think about yourself before you started the study and now, what have you learned?
Right, so.
About composition, say in the brain.
Yeah, so before I started the study, I was reading the literature in language and in memory, and like they use similar paradigm and they showed it's similar. They both show that connecting two elements engages LATL. So I was thinking maybe semantic composition can be explained by just associating two things together. But our findings suggest that it's not the case. The LATL actually responds to both association and composition. And that's it.
Yeah, and whether there is a structure between two elements really fundamentally matters, both anteriorly and more posteriorly. So neither of them is just a pure associative site. That's so that's that's progress. I think that's a sort of changes the set of questions we can ask going forward. I think it's also exciting because there is the priming literature is so vast and well understood. And so here you sort of see that the priming type effect reverses in direction depending on whether you have composition in the left ATL. That's cool. And you can definitely take that forward. All right, so I think we're coming to the end of our time, but so this paper just came out or is about to come out. I'll check online afterwards. So what are the questions that you're most excited about now? So obviously you're sort of gearing up towards the job market, and so what inspires you right now?
Yeah, so currently I want to further understand semantic composition and association at algorithmic level. So specifically, just want to compare computational models of semantic composition and association with brain activity during the two conditions. And also I'm excited about combining this minimal tour paradigm and natural skill paradigm to understand the composition in language. For example, I want to try to localize the effect of composition in the time and frequency domain in the tour condition, and to try to extract the data in this localized cluster from the naturalistic paradigm and yeah, just see if I can find the entrainment to composition, yeah, in the temporal.
Yeah, region. I think those are super important links to develop too. So I'm excited too. all right, Qijing, thanks for doing this somewhat late in your afternoon, and sorry about the technical difficulties, but I think we got it done. Okay, I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, talk soon. Bye.
Bye.
And that is a wrap from NELAB Spotlight.